Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time, Prior Faithful. Time to discuss everything going on with the Padres. We've gathered the entire 97.3 The Fan crew together to bring you the most in-depth discussion on the Friars in our weekly Padres Roundtable, presented by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. Here's your host, Ben Higgins.
Welcome to our very first playoff edition of the 97.3 The Fan Padres Roundtable. It is brought to you by Roundtable Pizza, Pizza Royalty. I am joined by an empty chair in the middle. We'll explain that in a second. But all the way on the left to me is Annie Heilbrun. Good morning, Annie.
Good morning.
On time, unlike your co-host. But I've heard there's some actual some issues out on the freeway.
Yes.
Hey, Craig should be here in a little bit. Now, you know, you've covered team sports long enough, like in football meetings. When you're late, you get clapped into the meeting. So everyone calls attention to the fact that you're late. So when Craig walks in, we'll all clap him in until he sits down and takes his microphone. Woods, you made it from our studio. You made the walk over. Thank
Despite
you.
Despite traffic issues in the hallway.
Yes. Made it here.
Had to convince him, but here he is doing his job. He always steps up when asked.
Happy
and
to
Chris
be here.
Ello back
here
from
so you won't get
parts
right.
unknown, as you said.
That's what I said. Yeah, parts unknown.
Canada, New York, wherever you've been the last couple of weeks, just letting us all live and die with the Padres without you. Welcome
back.
Yeah,
and I lived and died, you know, a little bit. We had no internet service at sea.
Oh, my God.
So, wow.
And you tried to convince me yesterday to go on a cruise. I said, there is no way.
Yes, Woodsy said he doesn't ever want to do it.
Never.
Yeah.
They even heard of a satellite uplink? My goodness.
Oh, no, they had it available for purchase.
Ah.
But it was quite a bit of money, so I waited until we got to the next port before I found out about the triple play and such things.
When did you find out they were in the playoffs? Like, when did you find out they clinched and stuff?
Like a day later.
The next morning, whenever that happened to
me. So you'd go to port and just check your internet and be like, oh.
What a horrible feel. It's like Castaway.
The triple, you know, the triple play was amazing.
Yeah. That sure must have been exciting.
I can't believe it.
You would have loved that.
I mean, and then I listened to Jesse's call like 9 times.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Because it was tweeted out earlier.
We're all old enough to remember the day when you went to bed not knowing how your team did the night before. And
that
then you'd
happened.
Wake up and you'd pull the paper off your driveway and hope that the game ended in time. Because if it
didn't,
there
to be a result,
you might have to wait until the next day's paper to find out if they won, like Thursday's game on Saturday morning. You finally found out whether they pulled out that extra inning game, because there really was no way to check back in, you know, 1983.
So, I didn't feel like there was a lot to sweat out. I know that everybody lived and died with every pitch, but I really felt that they were going to be where they are now.
I agree.
And it never really got that close.
It could have been so much worse for you if you needed help, and you know, and you wanted help from other teams, but if you really needed the help. My question, though, so no internet on the boat.
Yeah, right.
What did you do?
How did you entertain yourself?
What did you do?
He wears his Padres jersey.
I had to go back
day,
to the old days of reading a book.
I love to read also, but I can't
That's
even.
What I did. I read a book, and then I did it. I'll sell you on cruising some other time. I don't think people tuned in for that.
You never
but
know.
It was a. We had a great time, but I did scold my wife when we got home that No way we're going that long
now,
again.
Now, this was...
It was a long trip.
This wasn't one of those nude cruises that we talked about
on the
show before. Yeah, clothing optional? No.
Okay. All right. No.
It's turning red.
All right. Let's just... This is going to be a more freewheeling version of the round table in that I did not have a lot of time to prepare after last night's game with a lot going on. Annie was in the clubhouse. Chris, you were in the clubhouse after the game. Woods, you were at the game. You left a little bit earlier, but just get... Annie, we'll start. Just your thoughts on the clincher last night and the series against the Braves. Just whatever comes to mind.
Yes, I feel the same way as you right now, where I probably would need the game to be refreshed for me because of everything that happened at the end, right? I think it's really cool to watch them celebrate, because being down there all the time for all the games, you always see them working, right? Like, you talk to them in between going to the batting cage or going out to the field to take drills or going to the training room. And when you get to see them clinch like that, they're just in the moment, present, nowhere to go, nowhere to be, happy in the clubhouse and celebrating with each other and celebrating the accomplishment. And that's always just fun to see, you know, from someone who sees them all year long in a very intense fashion, right? But I thought the game, look, it got close there at the end, but for Joe Musgrove having to leave and the bullpen holding it down and the offense having that big inning, that was what they needed to do, and it was enough.
Chris, you know, the Braves actually, I think, deserve a lot of credit.
Yeah.
Being put in a really tough situation coming in, and then they fall behind 5-1. A lot of teams just go, you know what, not our season, and that ends up being a 12-2 game. They fought all the way to the end and made it as hard as possible for the Padres.
I said yesterday I did not expect the Braves to step aside, you know, because they've been here too many times. And even though they have, you know, some injuries, a lot of injuries, they still got guys like Olson, Albies. Soler's a World Series MVP, you know, former. So I expected that the Braves were going to push and be right there and make the Padres work. And, you know, that's what happened. But ultimately, the Padres are where I expected them to be, which is, you know, onto the second round. And I will say this, and Annie, I think, you know, you're down to the clubhouse a lot more than I get down there. I was a little surprised at the celebration. Not that they celebrated, but it was pretty, they were very excited, and they really let loose. And now maybe that's just, you know, a byproduct of what you're talking about, that, it, you know, you need that release and you need to celebrate each moment.
Yes.
But there are at least, hopefully, three more celebrations to come. And if they're going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, they're going to get crazy, because it was pretty celebratory down there last. I didn't expect them to say, okay, we won, let's move on. But it was pretty hectic.
It is. I mean, I think that it is exactly what you just said. It's the release. It's, we've worked so hard. It's the culmination of a 162-game season and all the adversity that you face and the hardships. And then just finally getting to exhale for a second. No game today. They have a workout tomorrow. So you go. You cherish those moments. Some of those guys will never get another celebration. They will never, you know, who knows if it's then for them or for some reason they're not with the Padres next year or whatever. So I think you cherish those moments. And I got to say, you know what Jackson Merrill said to me last night? You don't get a trophy for winning a wild card series. You don't get anything for winning a wild card series. So we're not done. So I feel like when you're getting
from the
rookie, I think that they understand, like, we turn the page by tomorrow and we move forward and face the Dodgers.
Now, did you get all the beer that Fernando Tatis Jr. poured all over you?
Fernando got me good.
Yeah, he got you.
I went up to Fernando for it was cold, and he got me good, and he was so happy, and he was having so much fun, and we didn't get to see that in 2022 because he was obviously not with the team during that time playing, and we didn't get to see it in 2020 because of the COVID restrictions. So it was awesome to see him contribute in the postseason on the field the way he has, but then let loose and have some fun in the clubhouse.
Now, Chris, you weren't here last week. We had a bit of an incident during our roundtable.
Oh, no.
So I decided, since Craig isn't here yet, we're going to do it early and get it out of the way before Craig arrives.
That was really something.
We had a tense moment, actually, on the roundtable during the draft.
What happened?
Craig was not happy with being put into a position to have to choose a team that he didn't want to choose in
a
roundtable draft.
He didn't have to.
Yeah, I know. He got a little mad. That's okay. All right, so we're going to start. One thing you don't get a trophy for winning a wild card series. They also don't name a wild card series MVP. However, we can do that on the roundtable. So in today's roundtable draft, and let's just start, Annie, right on over, you get to pick your wild card series MVP for the Padres, but obviously you can't pick someone that's already gone. So you get your first choice Annie, of wildcard MVP.
I could easily go with Fernando, but I'm going to skip Fernando. I'm going to go with Kyle Higashioka.
Yeah.
Back-to-back home runs. Also noticing that Joe wasn't feeling his best going out there at a very much needed moment when he did, and calling great games. I mean, he's been, I think, a catalyst for these guys. When you've got that guy performing like that, the rest of the players are like, I mean, this is awesome. Like, you get behind that.
Caught the last out while falling over Donovan Solano.
Yeah, that scared me a little.
That was terrible.
Drove in the first run, or the, you know,
the sack,
the third run. Yeah, and you know what? Him and Michael King, and you'll get everybody's voting, but you know, this made the Juan Soto trade look a whole lot better, you know, the last couple of days. If you didn't like it already, you should like it better now.
All right, Woods, you get the second pick in our Roundtable Draft Wild Card Series MVP.
I'm going Michael the King.
Yeah, you are going. Set the tone.
He was fantastic. Set the tone. 12 Ks, unhittable, didn't walk guys, just and still not satisfied with the results, you know, that night for him. And again, we've belabored the point, but what a fantastic human. What a fantastic pitcher. We just finished our show. You think about the struggles the Yankees have had with starting pitching over the years. And you go, you had him. Like, you had him. And why wouldn't you look at what he's capable of and say, yeah, that'll play for six innings, and do that? It just doesn't make any sense. A really kind of dumb move on their part. And Ruben Niebla has helped do for him what he did for Seth Lugo last year. And innings limit be damned, man. Michael King has learned how to take care of himself, and he set the tone and just put the whole team on his back that night. It was incredible.
I think it sometimes gets lost how important a deep, strong pitching performance is, because it doesn't just win the one game.
Yeah.
Sometimes it helps you win the next game
sure.
as well. And not having to use Tanner Scott and Jeremiah Estrada and Brian Hoeing, how important did that end up being when Joe ends up, you know, getting hurt, having to leave in the fourth inning? If Michael King doesn't do that, you might be, Annie, in a different situation in game two
of
that series.
For him to go seven scoreless, I mean, you're right. You know, it completely set up that series on a good foot and allowed for the rest of the bullpen and the pitching staff to be in a good spot. And the truth is, you only needed one run the other day, the first game, right?
Yep.
And Michael King made it that way.
Yep.
So, and then the bullpen, obviously. So, yeah, he's a great pick there.
All right, Kyle Higashioka, Michael King. Chris, you get the third pick in our roundtable draft.
I'm in a good mood today, Ben. It's great to be back. I'm going to leave the obvious choice for you because I know you will be grasping if I don't leave it for you. So I'm going to go with Mike Shildt. And here's my thinking.
Craig would be so mad at him for that.
Oh, yeah, he would.
You said player. Well, he's not here, so we're not arguing this week. I'm going to go with Mike Shildt because I didn't agree, really, with the decision to choose Michael King. First of all, I was stunned by that when I found out the following morning after it was really announced.
Wait, why were you upset at this?
I wasn't upset. I just thought they were getting cute. I thought, well, they had Dylan Cease, you had Joe Musgrove, you had Yu Darvish. I thought Michael King would have been my fourth choice.
Crazy.
But Mike Shildt, you know, proved again that he's got the pulse of this team.
Yeah.
So
great call.
I thought that call was crucial. I saw something really small last night that he did. Two on in that second inning with two out. Profar was up. And they tried a double steal. And that double steal caused Fernando to be in Albie's path.
Yep.
And I think helped him miss that ground ball, which led to the single to Profar, which then set the table for me. Anyway, Mike Shildt has been – We were told that he was a magic touch after the All-Star break. 43-19 plus two perfect, you know, managed games. So I'll go Mike Shildt.
So the guy who had nearly a 2,000 OPS in the series doesn't get picked 1, 2, or 3.
Well, lesson for you.
So thanks. I'll take Fernando Tatis Jr. with his tone-setting home run, his 3-for-3 walk performance. He looks so locked in right now.
Love it.
And I don't know that we should be surprised, I guess. I mean, we've seen Fernando enough knowing that he loves big moments, he loves big crowds and rising to the occasion. But let's appreciate what kind of skill that is to not like have the moment be too big for you, not try too hard, not press too much, not swing at pitches you're not supposed. I thought the walk yesterday was incredibly impressive, really, by Fernando Tatis Jr.
And especially because how many times do you see the big players sometimes struggle in the postseason, right? Like, it's not always a given that you're going to have a great postseason. And for him, it just seems like he was able to stay in the moment, stay very calm at the plate, and not change himself that all that much, you know? And it's obviously been successful.
Think about the play in the very first inning, where he might could have laid out for that ball in right field. If he misses it, that runner scores.
Game one. Yeah.
Of game one. And very wisely, I think, pulls up and says, no, we'll live to fight another day here. We got two away. If he dives, if he boots it, if he misses it, 1-0. Just like that. Michael King's legendary performance is off to a little bit of a rough start. So that is a much more measured baseball player than he was 5 years ago, by far. And I thought, hey, man, maybe I didn't get a good read. Maybe I didn't get a good jump. But I'm not going to sell out here in the first inning, because that would be a dumb baseball play. He plays a lot smarter than he used to. Like, of course, it's Fernando. You know he wants a spectacular moment. In that moment, I saw that's a veteran move by Fernando Tatis Jr., and it worked out.
Is there any way we can please get people to stop tweeting out the Padres' record when he's injured?
It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. It's one of the dumbest things.
It's unbelievable that people could honestly think that this is somehow better a team without him.
Correct.
Also, 1,917 OPS in the series. I want to give an honorable mention, actually a couple of them. Jackson Merrill.
Yeah.
Got his first three postseason hits in his very first series, and the play he made in the ninth inning.
Unreal.
To keep the Padres from being in a very bad situation.
Exactly.
It's the hardest.
It is. You're right.
It's the hardest play to make.
The line drive right at you is the hardest play.
And he said he couldn't hear it.
He couldn't hear it.
Yeah. Right. And my heart, as I watched the ball was, don't tell me that the only misread he's going to have all season is going to happen right now.
Yeah.
But he saved it, obviously,
100%.
With his athleticism.
I asked him after the game what the postseason feels like to him, right? And he's like, I can't make it any bigger than the regular season. He's like, the second I make it bigger, I'm going to fail.
Yeah.
So I have to just keep it the same way I've kept the regular season.
He's just smart, you know?
Yeah. And he loves learning from the veterans, and I think that they obviously feed off his energy, but made some really great plays out there.
And Robert Suarez, wasn't perfect and still isn't getting the swing and miss for strikeouts that we saw earlier in the season. You close out two consecutive playoff games in two consecutive days and get a postseason save.
We'll take it.
In a 1-2-3 inning. You played a really important role in that series.
No question.
So, I mean, he answered a lot of questions. Maybe not every single question you have about Robert Suarez. And
he saved four in a row, though. Yeah. Going back to the regular season, since we're handing out little merits here, hey, I'm sorry if Manny Machado doesn't at least be a finalist for the Gold Glove this year.
Yeah. It's absurd, man.
It is unbelievable to me that he can get overlooked on defense. Every time the play made last night, how about the play to end game one where
that's
he backed
it.
Up into left field and threw the guy? I mean,
54 yards on a rope.
Right.
On people.
I saw the tweet that you guys did.
I know we're homers and everything, but how can you overlook this guy?
It's absurd.
And his defense, Arenado is not the guy anymore. So why isn't Manny the Gold Glove? And he didn't even make the finals last year.
He makes it look so easy. Yep. And you get a little spoiled watching him because you're like, there's Manny doing it again. And then you break it down like how you guys did with how long that throw was and how off-balance he is.
I get the aerodynamics of a football and a baseball. They're different throws.
Right.
Yet you don't realize how far it is just from third base to first base. And then from where he threw it to end that game from the outfield grass.
Unreal.
It was about 52 to 54 yards. That's a Hail Mary from the other side of the football field
to the
end zone. Something that professional NFL quarterbacks have to heave as hard as they can just to get it there. He throws, again, it's a baseball, throws it on a line, on a target to exactly the spot it needs to be. That's incredibly impressive.
He's a first baseman's dream. He's a first baseman's dream. I saw Zach McKinstry yesterday made a really nice play in Detroit, and you watched that, and I went, oh, nice play. He got the out. It was like a three-hopper, though, over to first, and he's fumbling around like a baby giraffe at third base, and I go, Manny, it looks like syrup when he makes it. He's a quick backhand stop, boo, and just right in the chest every time. It's It's crazy.
One for 17 in his career against Max Fried before that double.
Yeah. Also.
And how huge was that? And he said massive. He wanted it bad after missing it in the first inning. Right. He gets the double. Jackson Merrill gets the triple.
Lizzie Lee.
I saw the first triple by like a youngest player in the postseason, except for Xander Bogaerts back in 2013, right. Which was just the coolest little connecting stat. But, you know, for Manny, too, you look at what he's been through this year with his elbow, and he's still going through it and still getting treatment, and how cool this is for him, too, because of the ups and downs that they've been through over the last few years. Just nice to see it come together.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's our 97.3 The Fan Padres Roundtable postseason edition presented commercial free by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. It's pizza royalty. All right. So other than Joe's injury, which we will discuss in just a couple of minutes, is there anything else you saw over the last 2 days that you find a little bit concerning that the Padres need to clean up or any individual players that you are worried about, Chris, going forward in the playoffs?
Can I go first?
Yes.
Jake Cronenworth swinging like a rusty gate right now. And I love him. And you know what? Baseball, as you know, we all know, the next series could be his series. And everything, you know, he's on the line. But, I mean, he looked not good up there. I think he realized it, tried to lay down a bunt, even couldn't get that to work, put it right to the pitcher. I'm not making any changes. What am I going to do? Put Arise at second base and put David Peralta in for him?
Did get dropped down to eighth in the order in one day, which I thought was interesting.
Right, he can't go much lower. So, you know, that's a concern. Profar has also been a concern in the three spot I've talked about even before I left. I don't think he's been, you know, the same guy the second half of the season. And him in the three spot, you know, you ask for concerns. There you have it for me.
Woods, do you have any, say, X factor concerns?
I expect Xander Bogaerts to play a little bit better. Hey, there he is!
Didn't mean to interrupt.
No, you're right. No, I expect him to play.
Hello, sir.
I expect him to play a little bit better. He is a guy you brought in because he was a world champion twice. It's not clicking for him right now. That being said, with him and Crony both struggling up the middle, kind of an area you need production from offensively. But honestly, as long as they continue to play defense, I'm not fine with it, but I have to be fine with it. I have to live with it. And like Chris said, you're not making any changes. I mean, I'm not putting Nick Ahmed out there at short to spell Xander or at second to spell Crony right now. I'm rolling with the guys that I got. It's the drink that we have. This is what we have right now, and I'm going to continue to root hard for him to turn it around. But other than those two up the middle, I'm feeling pretty good.
Annie, I'd rather be picking nits than dissecting the autopsy of the season. So
yeah.
I know they won.
You
keep that in mind when you're thinking about concerns over the last couple of days.
I don't know if I'm remembering this correctly. I feel like maybe offense in the later innings, maybe going back to even more than like a week ago, right? Just kind of sometimes
tack on either.
Yeah.
Time, really.
On against a bullpen.
It is hard when you're facing, obviously the pitching becomes.
Yeah, Jesse Chavez, one you should have murdered the other night. You should have taken it to him. It didn't matter because Michael King was so good. But yeah. You saw Joe Jimenez last night. Nasty. Nobody was hitting that.
Yeah, exactly. And when you have the days off and you get to reset your pitching staff and your bullpens and you know you're going to face some of the best arms. But I agree. Sometimes you wonder if that's going to catch up at the end. The reason that you could find the silver lining in that is typically if they're up by even one run, the bullpen locks it down. So you don't always need to score more, but you wonder if that might catch up at some point.
Craig, I'll bring you in if you want to address anything that we talked about before you got here or any concerns you've got.
The floor is yours.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, first off, I arrived 20 minutes late, so $20 fine.
We clapped. $20 we clapped
fine,
you in for every
fine.
Single one
oh,
of us.
Man. Whoa! I'm rich.
Can we donate?
Donate it for cheating on last year's.
We're donating to the King of the Hill Foundation.
Donate.
All right. right.
You I have to give it back because I was late to one earlier.
That's true. Right, that's well, this one can go to the King Foundation.
We'll go to the King Foundation.
That'll get the King Foundation.
That karma cup full.
Well done. Well done, Craig Elson.
Well played. You can come late next week if you'd like.
Let there be a roundtable next week. Let's hope so. I know you're talking about picking nits. I mean, I just think this team is built for this moment. This team has been built to play in the postseason. You see the bones of that when you get into playoff baseball, where you need a superstar to come through. We have superstars. When you need guys to rise to the moment, you've got the players that are capable of that. I definitely agree that seeing the offense burst one time through and then go silent, it's not going to work in this next series coming up when you're facing one of the best offenses in all of Major League Baseball. So something to consider, but you're also going to be facing at least a starting staff that's a little less robust.
And I think in game one, they definitely went quiet. I thought in game two, they hit the ball on the button a lot. Going in the late in the game, some deep flies, some line outs, maybe that's a little bit of bad BABIP luck. So we'll see what that looks like going forward. I will say that this is more of a forecasted concern than one that actually materialized in the first couple of games. So the Padres bullpen has been built for this and built for the postseason. But we saw Jason Adam come in against the same spot in the order 2 days in a row and, you know, ran into some problems. Now, that could be a one-off, but when you get deeper in the postseason and you go from a two-game series to a five-game series to a seven-game series and batters get more and more looks at your good bullpen arms, it can mitigate the advantage. Now, that works both ways, but I just think it would be something you got to think about as you're going the usage of players in the series, hopefully, that are still to come for the San Diego Padres, and making sure you're maximizing your really good bullpen arms and putting them in positions to succeed.
I think you're absolutely right, but I go back to what Eno Saris said about, you know, look, it takes a lot of luck to win a World Series, and it takes a lot of trust, and it takes a lot of things to go your way. That being said, you know, he was talking about the Nationals, how they essentially won it with, like, five pitchers. Like, they won the World Series with five pitchers. The Texas Rangers made some really aggressive moves with their bullpen, and unlocked something in Leclerc last year. And you're like, all right, we're rolling with this guy. He's getting the job done. It is just I see what you're saying. It could be a problem. It potentially was last night. They got a good look at him. But I don't think you stop riding those guys at all. I think you ride with what you got and ride them hard. They're ready for it.
Well, you don't, but weird. You have a deep bullpen and the ability to mix and match more than any other team in your bullpen.
But if you're Mike Schild and it's Yuki Matsui or it's Tanner Scott, you know what you're doing. And
that's it.
You know what you're like. I'm going with Tanner Scott, even though he's thrown 3 days in a row.
Who has had some late inning opportunities.
I get what you're saying. They are incredibly, incredibly deep. But now I think with Joe going down, that changes a whole dynamic. I think you're going to have to use every single guy down there. But I can 100% get behind. No, I'm riding ass all the way to the postseason and through it. And if we fail, so be it. But I'm going with the guys I trust the most.
All right, let's get to Joe here on the roundtable. And obviously, we don't know anything more than the rest of you. He's putting his arm in a tube somewhere, and we'll probably know more tomorrow from Mike Schild about whether Joe has a chance to come back. I certainly don't expect to see him in the division series against the Dodgers. So how would you adjust your rotation? Is it simply you're replacing Joe with Martin Perez the next time he goes out, or are you looking at more, you know, a bullpen game like the Detroit Tigers already went with yesterday and be more aggressive in that manner? How do you adjust, Chris, if you don't have Joe Musgrove going forward in your rotation?
Yeah, I'm going to go with back to what Craig said. This team is built for all of this stuff, and that's why I was not concerned, and I love where they're at, and I love their chances to keep going. You know, Ha-Seong Kim never made it back. And here's Donovan Solano. I don't feel like they've missed hardly anything. They can move a three-time World Series guy into shortstop to take his place. To take Joe Musgrove's place, obviously you can Darvish. But, yeah, Martin Perez pitched as well as anybody. And if he struggles, get the bullpen in there in the third inning. To me, you got to keep moving forward. And Joe, as much as I love him and care about him, and I know he'd say the same thing, I don't really have time to worry about it, and I don't think the Padres are going to worry about it. They're going to just keep on going. Cease and King, to me, start the first two games. I know Cease has already been named.
Darvish. Okay.
I'd go Cease and King, but, you know, and then Darvish back here but in game three. But they're okay. You know, that's the thing about the beauty of this team. They're okay. And hopefully Joe can get back later.
Craig, we know Cease in game one. How do you set up 2-3 and potentially 4 against the Dodgers?
I would play an option on game two, and if they won, I'd pitch Darvish, and if they lost, I'd pitch King. You want to keep King high, and if you think you're going to go all the way, you want to maximize your number of King turns through the rotation, so pitching him second would pitch him on 4 days rest. They've usually like to give him an extra day rest. So that's where I would totally understand them just saying, hey, you hasn't started yet. We're going to give the ball to you. You, Darvish, at Dodger Stadium has not always been the best thing. So, but directly answering your question regarding Joe, I think it's Martin Perez. And if, you know, in this next series, I think you're saying to him, we want you to face 12 batters. We want you to go one time through the order and then face Ohtani and Freeman one more time. And then we'll take you on out of there, go to Brian Hoeing and take it from
there. Specifically with those two lefties at the top of the order.
Exactly.
You're not going to let them face
Craig
Teoscar and Will Smith. You know, you need a right
Craig has him retiring the first 11 before exiting.
Right, yeah, good. And then he gives up like a walk to good Freeman thinking. And then they good take thinking. Him out.
Yeah. I'm gonna
push back just a little bit because I see what you're saying. You know, maximize King, he was so good. If you're really trying to win the World Series, I mean, obviously you have to beat the Dodgers, but if you can beat the Dodgers, have Michael King get that extra rest, pitch game three, and then be ready for game one of an NLCS greedy. To really start you out. That is greedy. That's like the greedy ideal that's possible greedy. Way. Because that would be on Sunday, right? So you can pitch Tuesday and then go
that's a shoot the
Sunday
moon, but yeah.
And it's a shoot the moon. But if you win game one and you got Darvish, it's not as though we're scraping the bottom of the barrel.
This right, is man. You, this you're is Clev.
You're talking about a team like
savvy
that.
Veteran.
Yeah. The kind of guy you usually want to see in the postseason. You, Darvish, who's not going to, you know, wilt in the moment.
This is not Tarek Skubal and then the rest of the guys you just hope for.
Right.
I mean, any one of these guys is going to start and give you a good game. That's why I'm not really going to lose sleep over it.
What about you on the 2-3-4 here?
I like the idea of kind of playing it by ear. Your goal in L.A. is to win a game. You need to split that series in L.A. You got to figure it out. And with Dylan Cease on the bump, you like your chances. Jack Flaherty, also a very, very tough competitor and really, really good stuff. So that's going to be a heavyweight battle. May the best. Who's going to be able to withstand, you know, 12 rounds? Who's going to be the last man standing? You can't drop both in LA. You got to shoot for one. And I think you're going to see some really insanely aggressive managing on both parts. That's the thing I'm looking forward to the most is watching how Dave Roberts handles this again, you know, in the postseason. That gives us a leg up. It gives us a leg up based on decisions he's made in the past in the postseason. That's a check mark in the Padres' favor. And I love Dylan Cease. Electric type stuff. Can he harness it? I think he can, but I'm going to play it by ear. And if I win game one, it's you, Darvish, game two. If I lose game one, it's Michael King, game two.
Annie, what do you think? Is Mike Shildt willing to play it by ear, or is he more comfortable in making sure that his guys know exactly what's going to be expected of them and what their role is going to be in this upcoming series?
I think they just feel confident in their pitching staff. I think they're going to go see Darvish, King, and maybe Perez, you know, and I think that idea of if he struggles or maybe we only have him go one time or maybe twice through the lineup and then we turn right to the bullpen, I think that they're comfortable with that, you know. I think obviously losing Joe is a blow. I mean, Joe is tough as nails. Joe is who you want on the mound in the postseason. Yep. He's an excellent pitcher. So losing him is a blow, but I guarantee you that Dodgers organization is looking over at the Padres like, you guys lost one pitcher.
Yeah, they don't
like,
feel bad.
And not
all.
Only that, but the rest 10. Of the rotation is so good and the bullpen is so good that I still think that they're in a pretty darn good spot.
Yeah, we got a hit.
All you got to do is get two guys on in the third inning and Flaherty will be out.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen Dave Roberts do this a million times.
He is
antsy in the playoffs.
100%, so, man. That's why I said it's.
And you talked about seeing bullpen guys through a series. I think all the batters will get a good look at all the Dodger bullpen guys throughout the series because that's the way Dave Roberts manages this.
Get used to Gratterall in the fourth and Kelly
in
the fifth.
Is he healthy again?
Is he still hurt?
I don't know if he's on the
injury. He's back out, but they've got that kid, Enriquez. The
104 he throws.
Is Freeman back out? Do we know?
Freeman is tenuous right now.
A little iffy. Yeah, I mean, we'll see.
So, again, that changes the complexion of their lineup greatly. But, yeah, man, I I'm glad you agree with me, Elo. It's a plus for Mike Schilt. David, and listen, when you have 7,000 opportunities in the postseason, you're bound to make some mistakes. And I don't know how much he's going to change the way he manages. But like you said, if Flaherty walks a guy in the fourth inning and next guy gets a hit and it's first and third and nobody out, he's done. He's done. He's out. We know what's coming.
It is funny how baseball works. After the Padres beat the Dodgers in 2022 in the division series, I think we all expected a rematch of some sort in 2023, yep. Maybe in the NLCS. Who knows? And then, of course, it didn't even come close to materializing. Then they start this year in Korea against the Dodgers, and it's probably the last thing on everybody's mind. Oh, yeah, they're heading toward another playoff collision this 100%. Year. It just didn't feel like it was in the cards yet. Here we are again. I don't know. Do you think there is any carryover from 2022? Do the Dodgers remember this? Does that motivate them? Does that give the Padres confidence they've done it once that they can do it again? Is there any impact?
It's not just 2022. It's the specter of winning 11 titles and having one World Series in a shortened season. That's what it is. Their own worst enemy is themselves, period. And they have an elite team. They have an elite organization. And they're their own worst enemy. And you just hope that that trend continues, that they continue to. Now, the only, if Kershaw was available to throw, Dave is going to try to get him in there. But he's not. He's not available to throw this series. So it's just, who's it going to be? What's the move you don't make? But it's their 11 out of 12, man. You should have three or four, some of the best teams ever assembled. So that looms over them. Yes, it looms.
All right, well, that means that they've got a lot of pressure on them.
Always.
ESPN today came out with something. Let me read this right. They call it their Pressure Playoff Index. And they always try to.
PPI.
They try to make numbers on everything.
They'll talk about the PPI on
PTI. Let me guess, Jackson.
Starting up at 2:30.
Let me guess, Luisa Rise doesn't rank very high.
So this is the teams that they think have the most pressure to get it done this year. And it's a combination of how long you've gone without a World Series, your drought, the expiring contracts that you have, the aging players that you have. Like, your window is closing, so you better get it done this year. And I believe they had the Brewers 1 and the Padres 2 on their list of teams that this is maybe your best chance going forward. So let me ask you, Craig, I'll start with you. How much pressure do you think there is on the Padres to get it done this year? Is this maybe the best chance they're going to get, or is this just one of a number of chances hopefully they have to win the World Series this decade?
This is the best Padres team that I've seen in my life. I think this team is more complete than 98's team. 98, you still have like a Dan Mussele wandering in at random times, or a Donnie Wall. This team just has it on every level. Does that mean there's pressure? What about the pressure on the team that spent over $1 billion on their roster this year, that last year lost in the division series to a division rival after winning 100 games, and the year before that lost in the division series to a division rival after winning 100-something games? Like, the pressure is on LA. Their billionaire owner described his tenure as a failure because they've only won one championship, and that's how he sold that to Shohei Ohtani. That's all on Dave Roberts' shoulders. Like, the pressure is on LA. So I reject the premise. But I do think this is smack dab in the window for San Diego. And you don't know what you're going to get from Michael King next year. And you don't know what the payroll is going to be next year. You don't know who's going to be here next year. So let's make hay while the sun's shining on this beautiful San Diego Padres team.
Yeah, Annie, the future is always unknown. Pressure comes in a lot of different forms. I mean, what do you feel is the Padres, the imperativeness of them winning this year?
I mean, two things. I think, number one, it's a huge opportunity for them because it's fool's gold to think that this is just going to happen every year, right? Like, you have injuries, you have guys having slumps, you have just the makeup of teams. Like, it's not a given that you're going to get to the playoffs every year and that you're going to continue to go deep into the playoffs. So many things have to go your way for that to happen. So I think you obviously want to take as much of an opportunity as you can here, take advantage of that as much as you can. But the playoffs are so unpredictable. You know, I mean, they could play their best baseball and a few things don't go their way and not make it. So I think that for them, I don't think that they're feeling pressure as much as, like, we feel confidence because we've been playing this brand of baseball since the All-Star break. And we know that we know what kind of team we are, and we believe in the guys around each other, and we believe in our ability to get it done because they've done it so many times. So I don't think pressure. Now, I do think that for the Dodgers, I mean, it's being shoved down their face. I saw it since the Padres won last night. A matchup of the division rivals again, and what happened in 2022, and can the Padres do it again? And Ohtani, can he make the difference this time? And for the first time, I saw Dodgers fans freaking out. We got to make our stadium look like Petco, and we got to fill it up. And I mean, I haven't really seen that in years past. So I do think that there's pressure on them to prove that they are not just knocked out in the divisional round every time.
Woods, I certainly can see this going, you know, a couple of different ways. You look at the Padres right now, and I mean, Jackson Merrill, the future is bright. Tatis is here for a long time. Manny still looks like could be an MVP-type player for several years. And you've got some good young talent that could be joining the system in the next couple of years in DeVries and Salas. That it may be big, but as Annie just said, you never know. I mean, we don't even know if Joe Musgrove, you know, hopefully, knock on wood, it's not the worst, but pitching injuries can take guys out for all, entire years, and what the rotation could look like and who you can sign, you know, Cease and King and Arise, and who can be back after next year. So there is certainly, you know, you want to get it done when you've got the chance.
Well, you're mentioning guys that you know, Cease, Arise. These guys, you know, Cease was a late move, and Arise was a late trade. The window is whatever AJ Preller can pull off. That's how long the window will last. That's really fair. Yeah, he's the window of, like, how the Orioles are building their team. It's different. It's different than how AJ Preller has built this team. Sometimes it's worked. Sometimes it's failed spectacularly. But this year, it hasn't. It hasn't to this point. So I don't really worry about windows anymore. I used to, and now I've seen what he's able to do, and I see some guys that other organizations have an interest in and have acquired, and I go, oh, okay. Well, I love getting Dylan Cease. I love getting Tanner Scott. I love getting Jason Adam, right? I love getting Brian Hoeing. And you look around and you go, this team's radically different than it was on opening day. What am I worried about next year's window for? Because it could be radically different again. And, you know, you love Leo. You love Ethan Salas. You love some of the arms and stuff. But, yeah, I'm just not worried about it right now. But I do feel this is a really competitive baseball team that can stand toe-to-toe with anybody that's left.
Chris, you know, what's your level of pressure on getting it done in this opportunity?
First of all, who wrote that for ESPN? Was it Bradford?
Was it your guy?
Little?
Was it your guy?
Sounds like a Bradford dude.
Because honestly, does anybody have to do any index to understand that the Dodgers have the pressure?
Like, he said Milwaukee was first. Milwaukee.
The Dodgers have the pressure. So whoever wrote it, if it wasn't you, Bradford,
it was Bradford.
Of course it was. He loves us.
That's so sick.
But
Milwaukee.
The only thing for sure next year is that the Rockies will finish last.
Yeah.
That is it. Everything else is up for grabs. So why even think about it? Honestly, I mean, I understand the question because people do this. But right now, man, it's just right now. Just do it. They got the best opportunity. Craig's right. I think this is a championship team. The only question is, and it'll be answered in the next 3 weeks, is this finally our time? You know, in San Diego.
Right.
And I believe it is our time. You know, the Dodgers had their time. The Braves had their time. The Phillies had their time. I think it's the Padres' time. And they're just too good, I think, to worry about what may happen next year. So, and Woods is right. Whatever happens in the offseason may not be the team by next July anyway.
It won't be.
There's also one element to this season that you'll never be able to recreate again. And for the next question, we might have to do a little bit of soul searching, because I've kind of done it recently too, watching how this season has unfolded, and whether you believe in an afterlife or what goes on. Annie, do you feel like there's some sort of Peter Seidler, like, heavenly touch on this season, whether it's just because the players all believe it or because there is something magic going on? And is that really a factor on the team this year?
I mean, it doesn't matter if I believe it. If they believe it, then that's what matters, because they're able to ride that wave. And even Manny yesterday, was talking about, asked him about this team and what makes this celebration different. And he immediately went to Peter Seidler. I feel like we have so much energy in this clubhouse, and it's being fueled by Peter Seidler and what he's done for this team and this city. And I think this ownership group in general, right? I think since Ron Fowler and Peter Seidler took over this team, have tried to turn this into, with the Chargers leaving, something that San Diego can be proud of. And the fact that they signed so many guys in the last few years that Peter did, that are now kind of locking in as this united team, right? I mean, it does speak to maybe some kismet and some luck that going their way. The reason I hesitate on all that is because what happens if they lose? All right? Like, I don't like the other side of it. You know what I mean? So, look, if they believe in it, great. That's all that matters. What matters is what they want, what they believe in.
Woods, I know you have unseen influences and believe them. We kiss a roach every day on our show.
Very true.
So you definitely believe in unseen influences.
He kisses that thing every day?
Every day, yeah.
Good to know. We all do, Chris.
We all do.
We're required to.
My wife lost her dad a long time ago. And, you know, you don't believe it until, you know, she tells me, oh, my dad's a Hawk. And I'm like, all right. Sure he is, right? Until, you know, you go to your son's first game and there's a Hawk. And you're like, I get choked up. I believe. 100%.
Craig, I know you're like more me, skeptical. I mean, there's so many instances where a team has lost someone important. They don't win the championship every time. You can't ascribe anything to that. It doesn't mean that, you know, they were any less loved by whoever the beloved person was.
Sure.
You can't put too much on that. Yet I also watched a lot of Padres baseball in my life, and I've never seen anything like what's been going on this year.
I know.
But look at the Rangers last year, and that, like, the Rangers. I mean, Martin Perez will say they didn't get hot until the wild card series, and then they were able to ride that. They didn't have as close of a clubhouse as the Padres have. You have to get some luck, and do the Rangers have someone that? I don't know. You know what I mean? Like every team that wins the World Series has to get luck along the way.
Well, I mean, I'm just going to build off your previous question. Talk about pressure index. I mean,
yeah. PS, the Peter Seidler, right? Pressure index.
That's where I cannot agree with my esteemed colleague from the midday anymore. I mean, what's the reverse of this if we're saying, you know, he's shining down? Then do they lose for him, too, if it happens? Look, you're facing a great team this weekend. Nothing is promised. L.A. thinks they're going to win. We think we're going to win. And it's going to come down to a bleeping baseball game. They're going to play a baseball game to determine it. There's not going to be a clash of the gods above with Tommy Lasorda and Peter Seidler, you know, wielding lightning bolts.
Like, but think about. So we always talk about, like, some of the great postseason teams and the bits that they do. Remember the Red Sox cowboy up and they're drinking Jack Daniels before a game, like before a game seven.
The beards.
Yeah. Whatever it. Baseball players are. If they believe it, that's it.
We all agree this clubhouse is galvanized.
Yes. Galvanized.
In a way that is
different
and unique from other clubs we've seen.
Because of what they went through. And again, I do feel like, and it happened in spring training, when Manny grabs the mic, he's like, all right, thanks for having me, and we are super embarrassed about last year, and I can promise you that's not going to happen again, and we're doing it for Peter. And we just sat there like, okay, we didn't even ask you a question yet, you know?
And they have the patches on their uniform, and they have the heart all around them, and they are doing it for Peter.
Yeah, 100%.
I know it would be, it would certainly be interesting, because 40 years ago, the Padres had their owner's letters on their uniform, R-A-K. When they went and faced the Detroit Tigers in the World Series, who just happened to be alive and could possibly be in the World Series.
I would like
again.
To go to Detroit.
I mean, call
I
it
would.
Coincidence, whatever, Chris. But they, you know, it does feel like there's something. I really don't have any idea.
Detroit. Yeah, that's exactly where I want to be. Detroit.
There's no argument that it's been a magic season, and whether it's Peter Seidler or not, I don't know. I do know that Annie's 100% on this, though. And by the the way, she's been on point all day today. But
thanks,
Joe Musgrove walked off the mound last night and touched his Peter Seidler logo. I don't know if anybody saw it. That's exactly what he did. That tells me all I need to know, that this team is rallying around that, and that's as good as anything can be.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I'll throw in one extra element, belief, because as beloved as Peter was, and you know, just an incredible human being, I love Peter as well. This is also a really good baseball team, and if they win it, they deserve the credit on their talent and their production
and
coming
get it
through in the pressure.
They'll get it.
And, you know, beyond any mystical impact, it's just a really good baseball team that plays really good baseball.
Yep.
And that's the coaches, the coaching staff. It's A.J. Preller, and as they always say, it's mostly the players who have gone out and taken pretty much, you know, every day really seriously this year in a way we didn't really see necessarily last year. Not that they didn't care last year, but they certainly had a much more laissez-faire attitude about the season, that it was going to take care of itself.
That it would come together.
They decided they were going to take care of it, Annie. And, you know, that to me has maybe made the biggest difference.
Yes, I think the embarrassment factor was big for this team. They did not want a repeat of what happened last year. They did look themselves in the mirror and want to change it. I think having Jackson Merrill in there and having someone that they have to be a role model to, a father figure to almost, someone that's looking up to them, I think it's made a difference, because when you have a group of veterans in there and everybody kind of already knows, you know, they've already been brought up, they kind of have their path, whatever. Now you have this kid who is like infusing you with energy, but who is also hanging on to you and watching you, and you almost like absorb like a different kind of accountability now that you have to show in the clubhouse. And I think that's been big for this team. I think the Venezuelan guys have been big for this team. I know that sounds crazy, but the energy and the lightheartedness and the love, the loving them up that the Peralta, David Peralta and Martin Perez and Luis Arraez with his hugs. And
he gave me a hug last night. Diaz. I've never met the man.
I know.
Same with me.
He hugs the catcher every time he goes out to the plate. And then
Luis
he goes
Arraez
and he gets a hit.
Manny, we always talk to Adam Jones. We talk to Adam Jones every week. And he saw Manny come up and he always talks about J.J. Hardy. And now Manny gets to be J.J. Hardy.
Exactly.
He gets to be the J.J. Hardy to he's not, Manny's not going to be the J.J. Hardy to Xander Bogaerts, right? Or Juan Soto. And there was that Manny-Fernando dynamic maybe early, and then, you know, it kind of went away. And now with Jackson, he gets to be the J.J. Hardy. No, I'm going to be out there. I'm going to post. Yeah, I'm hurt. It doesn't matter. Go out. I'm locked in, et cetera, et cetera.
This is how I prepare. This is how I go about
my
business.
And now Jackson Merrill is just incredible, and that's because of Jackson Merrill. But he's made guys step up all season long to go, we can't fall apart. This kid is, he's just so young and dumb, and he loves baseball so much.
The kid that ends up in Shawshank Redemption at the, you know, when he comes and, you know, gets all the old prisoners fired up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, keep moving, old timers.
How'd that work for him,
yeah,
Tommy?
Yeah, it didn't work for him, but, it, you know, it inspired Andy to get the heck out of
horrible
there.
Horrible comparison. He gets shot. He gets shot by one of the guards, Ben. Assassinated.
Perfect comparison, Ben.
Well, hopefully Myron Hadley is not on the Dodgers and is not going to take
I was
going to
bring up
Merrill.
Derek Jeter. You bring up this guy.
This guy, right.
Jeez. Oh, man. All right. Last couple of minutes here. Just quick thoughts on how you think the Dodgers series is going to play out. Chris?
Oh, boy. I just think I think we can look at all of the different angles. I'm going to just go to one thing. I think the Padres have a better team. I just think they do. They have a better pitching staff, starting pitching, bullpen, defense. In all three categories, I think they got the Dodgers beat. Offensively, the Dodgers can bash probably a little bit better than the Padres overall, but I think the Padres can keep that somewhat at bay. If it goes three games, wouldn't shock me, although I'd be a little surprised if the Dodgers went out back-to-back years in three straight.
Yeah.
Four seems the obvious pick because you'd wrap it up in San Diego. But I'll take 5-2. And I don't think the Padres have to concern themselves with a fifth. They can play it wherever they have to play it. I think they're a better team.
Greg?
You know, I echo a lot of what Chris says, but also look at Los Angeles as a great team on their own right. They've got three Hall of Famers at the top of their lineup. They do. You know, they've got a singularity in Shohei Ohtani. And that singularity could decide the series. If Shohei Ohtani wants to hit six home runs, you know, and go 9-for-11 with runners in scoring position, he can win a series by himself. He is that good. He's, as you said this morning, Woods, he's as locked in as any player since 2003 Barry Bonds.
Man.
I mean, it truly is the case. He has played his whole career for this moment. We've never seen him in this moment. The only time we've ever seen him in a moment anything like this, he won.
Yeah.
And that was the WBC
that's a good point.
In 2023. So I think as Padre fans, we need to approach this the way we did in 2022. With all the respect in the world, the Dodgers are the favorite. They're the favorite to win the whole thing.
Yep.
They've got the most wins, the most talent, the best superstars. They're the favorite to win the whole thing. We're still the wild card team that is coming into L.A. Let's win a game. Let's come into it with the exact attitude that we love our team, and let's see where the chips fall.
Annie?
I think that the Padres have the better team, too, and I know that's crazy. I don't even feel like I'm trying to be find the skepticism here and find the, you know, be critical. And obviously they have Shohei Ohtani, they have Mookie Betts, they probably have Freddie Freeman most likely or should, possibly. God, I'm still like, I need to get a lot of sleep. But what I'm trying to say here is, bear with me, guys. I think that the Padres have as good a chance as any. I mean, I don't think that this is a Dodgers team that has the upper hand by a ton. However, they've won more games than anybody in baseball. They've been 1-2 with the Padres coming out of the All-Star break for most wins since, you know, being the best team in baseball. So this is going to be a hard series. I don't think by any means that you can, like, say one or the other team is going to take it for sure.
Woods?
It's Ollie Frazier, man. This is it. This is two heavyweight teams separated by three wins and, you know, a couple $100 million in payroll. But still, a lot of that payroll is going to be watching from the bench. I'm as excited about this as I've ever been. I'm supremely confident in my team, but I also know they're nasty, man. And Craig nails it. There's one X factor. It's Shohei Ohtani. But if you sleep on him, the next guy can get you. He can get you real good.
100%.
I will say, though, if Tatis is as locked in as he looks, he mitigates some of that Ohtani factor.
Because
he could be just as good. Where I think the Dodgers' bullpen is underrated and kind of maybe the scariest piece.
Yes.
The Padres' bullpen gets a ton of credit. Dodgers' bullpen is nasty
dude.
With those arms.
Nasty.
And that is an X factor in the series.
I still give the edge to the Padres'
pitching staff. No, it's fair. It's absolutely
fair. On paper,
fair.
Like, yes, but they
know how to get it done.
Craig, you got anything left here?
No, you said it, man. Right. I mean, this is going to be a great series. Let's get after it.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it. All right. Game one will be Saturday at 5:38 here on 97.3 The Fan. You can catch Jesse and Tony all the way through the postseason. Sammy's pregame show at 4:38. Woods and I will be doing a live show from Ailsmith starting at 2:30 on Saturday as well. So we look forward to seeing you out there. Panel, it's good to have Chris back, and it's good to see everybody. Annie and Nelson coming up next.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks,
Ben.
Over there.
All right, we will be back. It was our roundtable presented by Roundtable Pizza. It's pizza royalty. Hopefully talk to you next Thursday here on San Diego's number one sports station, home of the Padres, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.